I ask that you would help me to get out of the way, just ground me in the word, Lord. Help me just to release myself into your spirit, your anointing, Father, that you can say that what you would have said, Lord. Every one of us are here tonight because we know that you've called us to this place. You have brought us here. You have gathered us together. We are all here part, equal parts of your body. Father, we know you're going to take care of your own body. Paul said, every man takes care of his own flesh. We are your flesh and your bone. We are your blood. We are what you die for. We are the purpose that you had from the very beginning, from before the beginning. Tonight we stand here with a very small group, but Father, that is so in line with what you want me to speak on. Let our hearts, let our eyes be open. Let our hearts receive it, what you have to say. And let us walk from here with greater faith, just trusting. We ask this in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. If you want to turn your Bibles to Matthew. Let's go to Matthew 24 and verse 36. Matthew 24, 36. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, the one be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. You may be seated. If you would turn back just one page, same chapter, but let's go to Matthew 24 and let's go to verse 23. Then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. Tonight I want to keep speaking again on this thought I've had for several weeks now, and it just keeps going. And I hope you're enjoying as much as I am, because God just keeps opening it up and showing more. So the second purpose of this great threefold purpose, the second was to gain preeminence by indwelling his bride. First one was God is going to get preeminence in one man, through that one man, take preeminence in a body, and take through that preeminence, take them back, restore what Adam lost. And so we want to talk a little bit more about how this great secondfold purpose, what a great thing is when Christ himself indwells the bride to such an extent that he can unite with her, he can actually marry her. We know that he could not marry her down through the church ages, because even though she was bride, she wasn't pure. She wasn't virgin, because she still had man-made doctrines and ideas that had been put in there when the first church fell at Ephesus, and the church took over, and they started denominating and organizing, and they put all these man-made doctrines, went down to the dark ages, and slowly coming back out. And now in this age, what is so great is the bride is not just the bride that he's had through the years where he could stand at a distance, but this one he can unite with in marriage. Think about it. Actually married to his bride in this body. We're going to talk about that more, I think, Sunday. Let me keep going. But what a great thing that is. Surely when this is manifest, surely the world is going to see it. Surely they're going to look at the bride and say, wow, look at this. The message was right. Let me get some of this. Let me be saved too. Doesn't that make sense? Wouldn't you expect to be some great big thing? And then from here, it goes and takes us back to what Adam lost. Think of the mighty things God's doing in our midst right now. What a mighty thing. There's hardly been anything greater in the history of the world than what is happening in the bride right now. And there's a dozen people in here. Think about it. How can it be that such a great thing is so invisible to the world? Let me ask you this. When Jesus Christ came, walking on the shores of Galilee, was not that the greatest person that ever has walked earth? Why is it that so many people looked right at him and did not recognize what was happening? When the whole Bible up to that time told all about that. He was coming. He's coming. This is what he'll do. This is what he'll do. He'll do this. He'll do this. He'll do this. And he said, search this scripture. Tell me where I'm not doing what the Messiah was supposed to do. And they looked right at it. They looked right at him and say, it ain't you. It ain't you. And even the ones who had to recognize that, yeah, we know you're sent from God. And yet they wouldn't accept it, some of them. How can it be? That old nasty human nature, I tell you what. Human nature. The greatest thing. How did he do it? How could it be a secret to these people? How could it be hidden when he was right there in front of them? Doing it right there in front of him, fulfilling the scripture, prophesying what's going to happen. He said, when I be lifted up, what do you mean be lifted up? You're going to be crucified? And then they went and did it. Brother and sister, nothing has changed. This amazing thing that is happening on this earth right now, how many people recognize it? Out of the, 7 billion people? Is it 100? Is it 500? Is it 1,000? How many people actually recognize what's going on? And let's lump the message believers in there. Don't put them out. Oh yeah, as long as you're a message believer, you see what's going on. You know better than that. You know way better than that. Just because you call yourself a message believer does not mean that you see what's going on. It's hidden. Standing there, fulfilling the word. What happened when Brother Branham came? He took and he lived a life. He pointed back to the Bible and said, look, this is what's being fulfilled. Right now, this is being fulfilled. And at first, like he said, when a prophet first come along and he's healing the sick, he's raising the dead, he's doing all these great things, everyone's with him. Oh yeah, we want this. We got this new prophet. But then when he goes to the message, the message is where it throws them off, folks, because the word is prophesied. And the people take that, and before it can come to fruition, just like Eve, they go and try and fulfill it themselves. They try to figure it out how it's done. God said, told Adam and Eve, be fruitful and multiply on the earth. And so Satan said, okay, we got to promise you. Let me see if I cannot push her just a little bit past that. Just get a little bit in front of God's program. And he did. And that's the same thing. We've had the message believers rise up. We're the bride. We see this. They see the same message we see. They read the same quotes we read. They listen to the same thing. They would preach the same thing I'm preaching. But the problem is, they try to manufacture it themselves. They try to produce it. Instead of being that tree by the living water, just sit there and drink. They try, I got to try real hard to get some leaves out here. I got to try real hard to push out some branches. I got to try real hard to be this tree. I got to try real hard to be this bride. And when you do that, you hybrid the word. And when you hybrid the word, your soul sins, and the soul that sins, it shall die. I'm getting on Sunday service. I need to back off. I'm excited about it. Praise the Lord. They don't want it the way he sends it. It comes down to, are you willing to die to your old nature and accept it God's way? All you have to do is go back to the beginning, Cain and Abel. God proves, he vindicates his will. He interprets the word the way he interprets it. And people look at right at that and they say, I don't want it that way. This is my religion. Take it or leave it. Grandchildren of Cain. And that's why God sent the fivefold ministry. Because he knows our nature is to do that. Everyone, don't look down your nose at those people. Every one of us has had that same attitude sooner at some time. Of course we have. We've offered God our religion. We offer him our sacrifice. And he says, that's not what I want. And we're like, oh my goodness, I tried and tried. I guess that's not one of them. I guess he's just not for me. Okay, Cain, then don't be Cain then. If that's your attitude. But what does he do? He sends a fivefold ministry who has the heart of God, who has the word of God, and they expose that spirit so you don't have to be Cain. All it takes is expose it and recognize it, and this hardest thing in the world for a person to do is called humble yourself. Say those hardest words, I am wrong. It's hard to say. Get in an argument with someone sometime. Find out you're wrong. Boy, it'll just about bust your head just to say, all right, you're right. But it's sure good for you. I hate it personally. Let's turn to a scripture. How are they blinded? How do they get blind? Let's turn to John 12. John 12, 31. Now we saw in Matthew where he said, when they say, oh, Christ is over here, Christ is over there, you got to go to the secret place, go out to the desert. He said, don't go chasing that kind of thing. We got that around the message. You got to hear this one. He was supposed to come after Brother Branham. This is the next one you got to hear. You got to hear this ministry. They're the one who have it. Anytime you hear that and they see that kind of spirit, you can know assuredly that is an Antichrist spirit. You say, Brother Phil, you said you had to come to this church that God ordained. Yeah, this is the ministry God put you. You need to be here. But this ain't the only one. There is plenty of them around the world, folks. God gives you a pastor. He sure does. You don't have chaos. I'll just go do what you want. Hopefully you make it. No, he knows where he wants you. He takes a person, he forms, and he molds that minister to fit the people. Yeah. John 12, 31. Jesus is speaking. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. Isn't that amazing? The prince of this world cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. This he said, signifying what death he would die. The people answered him, we have heard out of the law that Christ abideth forever. And how sayest thou the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man? Now they had seen him. This is shortly before he was crucified. They had seen his ministry. They had heard what he had to say. And he said, now you're going to say that you're going to be lifted up. So you say you're the Son of Man, you're going to be lifted up. But the word says that you're going to abide forever. What was the problem here? They had taken what the word said, put their own interpretation to it. And so they could not accept what the word standing there was saying. Because they didn't understand it. Brother, sister, that's how so many people miss out on what's going on today because they put their interpretation to it. It's got to be this way. Brother Branham said it this way. It's going to be this way. And we look back at that and say, well, of course we can see it. But see, until it actually happened, it was a mystery. Can I just say something? I this is sort of my own opinion, so just take this with a grain of salt. But all these people who have walked away from the message because of the cloud. Can you imagine when the reality of that really comes up and is explained and is manifest, whatever? They're going to look at this and say, oh my goodness. I went to hell because of that? I didn't understand it. And so I just decided it must be the way my mind can figure it out. Because if you take that as to say that Christ abides forever, and then he say, oh, I'm going to be killed, your mind says, well, that's not according to the word. That's just as wrong as that cloud. You talk about people feeling foolish. Because my human mind couldn't figure it out. I went and I gave up and I chose to go to hell. I quit believing because my mind couldn't figure it out. Brother, sister, when your mind can't figure it out, that's a good place to be. Just stop trying. Just sit there and let God speak to you. You know, it says, I will not be moved. Let me tell you why you will not be, that song. I won't, you know, right? I shall not be moved. You know why you're not going to be moved? Because you sit there and God's holding you there. It isn't because you're holding on. If you're still holding on, let go. You're getting in his way. Oh my. You know what happens? I'm holding on. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. Whatever. And brother, sister, you're just a legalist. You might as well have just gone back to the Catholic Church. You have in your spirit. Didn't recognize it. They said, the Son of Man lifted up. Who is the Son of Man? Then Jesus said unto them, yet a little while is light with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. He is saying, the light is with you. Follow the light. I'm the light. Do what I say. Listen to what I'm saying. Because when I'm gone, if you don't walk in the light, you're going to be in darkness and you're not going to know a thing you're talking about. And they went ahead and walked off in the darkness. You had to stay with the light, brother and sister. And when that particular light in that body went out, there was still light. It came back in the day of Pentecost. There's always light, brother and sister. Walk in the light. What is the light? It's the word interpreted. Don't just follow some preacher because he can preach good. Don't follow some preacher because he's anointed, because he can perform miracles. Didn't we just see that false Christ will come and deceive many by the great things they can do? The great signs and wonders? Don't be fooled by that. Look over there, it said, two in the field, one taken, one left. Two grinding, one taken, one left. Let me tell you something. Both of those people were message believers. Both of those people thought they were going in the rapture. What happened? It was so close that one was deceived, one was elect, and the deceived one could not tell the difference. Think about it. Yeah, we're both message believers. We go to the same church. We listen to the same pastor. We're both going in the rapture. And one of them, see that piece of paper? See how thin that is? I don't care how thin it is. If you're on this side, you're not on this side at the same time. You can be so close, but if you're on this side, you're still on the wrong side. You can sit in this church and you can hear Brother Jared preach. You can hear me preach. You can hear whatever, and you can live a good holy life. But brother and sister, if you are not born again, your life can ape it, can mimic it. It can look so much just like the next person. But if you don't know Jesus Christ personally, how do you know him? Because of a feeling? No, because you recognize him in flesh. You see his attributes. You hear his voice. You see Christ moving. And you say, I am aligned with that. I am walking in that light. That's who I am. Oh my. Just tears me up when I see. Get the young people to the altar so they can feel an anointing, so they can get a baptism, so they can have some kind of sensation. Oh, quit it! Get them to Christ. The reason they don't is they don't have Christ themselves. All they have is an anointing. It's all they got. Preach the kids to the altar. Let's pray for them. Maybe someone will get emotional and they'll scream and shout, and then everyone comes up, oh, I want what they got. No, you don't. You want a lot more than that. Oh, I pray that we've all gone past that. I just pray, I understand the message. I believe this. I see this. I recognize this. You're going to be the one left, folks, if that's all you got. It's a relationship with Jesus Christ himself. And how do you know him? Well, when I see him walking down the aisle in a robe and scars on it, you know better than that. What is it? Brother Branham preached, he said you know him by his characteristics. He does it. Victory in Jesus. Your life becomes victorious. Oh, I still make mistakes, Brother Phil. I must not know him. Oh, listen to you listening to the devil. Look at you. Come on. You know better than that. My. While ye have light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light. These things Jesus spake and departed and did hide himself from them. While you have light, walk in the light, that you may be the children of light, brother and sister. That goes for today just as much as it did back then. Jesus Christ is always still the same every day. While you have light, walk in the light. Don't walk away from the light just because you don't like the light. The part of you that don't like it is the darkness. Let the light put out the darkness. Oh, by the way, that darkness, that's the part your flesh likes. All right? So when you're struggling with it, just recognize, yep, there's that old darkness. Didn't want to come to church. Didn't want to praise God. Didn't want to pray. Didn't want to quit. Didn't want to give up my own deal. Wanted to be right. Didn't want to humble myself. That's the darkness we struggle with, folks. Man, I can't wait. I'll just tell you, I can't wait till Sunday morning because I keep getting right on the edge and I want to jump right into it. And then we'd be here till 10 o'clock tonight and you'd be throwing me out. Hid himself from them. He said, walk in the light, children of the light, recognize light, and then he wouldn't hid himself. Wow. Why would God hide himself? Why would he do that? But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him. He had done so many miracles, they didn't believe him. He had proved who he was, they did not believe on him. That the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, who hath believed our report, and to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? He's right there, he was right there, but who has believed it? It's right there in front of him, but who has believed it? Therefore they could not believe, because that Isaiah said again, he hath blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, and I should heal them. See, I'm going to blind your eyes and harden your heart so that you do not believe, so I don't heal you. Ain't that amazing? Wait a minute, I thought there was predestination. Yeah, there is. He knew who was going to choose to believe him or not. He knew who was his. He knew who's gonna believe. Don't turn here. I'm just gonna read another one. Romans 11:7 says, what then? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it, and the rest were blinded. Israel, he's talking about the country. They sought a Messiah. He came. They did not receive it, but the election received it. And the rest were blinded, according as it is written, God hath given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see, ears that they should not hear, unto this day. Even today, the Jews still have not recognized that Jesus was their Messiah. Don't worry, it's coming really quickly. It's going to happen. The bride needs to get out of the way, and then they're going to receive him. If you're still here, when you see those prophets rise up, just know one thing. You missed the rapture. Man, it would be horrible. Don't be here. It said, God hath given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that should not see, ears that they should not hear. Why would a just God do that? How can he do that? He said, now I'm going to be right in front of you, but I'm going to blind your eyes. Let me read one more quote, then we're going to preach about this. 2 Corinthians 4:3, he says this, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. So a couple places it said God blinded their eyes, and it said the God of this world hath blinded their eyes. Well, how can it be both? Brother and sister, Satan is God's tool to blind people's eyes. That's how. That's his job. Why would God want their eyes blinded? Because he's not gonna save you except his provided way. Cain wanted to be saved. He wanted to serve God. He wanted to be a Christian. Cain wanted to go to heaven, but he was not willing to come God's way. That's the difference between the elect and the blind, the elect and the non-elect, because if you're not willing to come God's way, you don't love him. You love darkness better than light, because if you love light, you will walk in the light. He will not hide himself. He will not blind your eyes. He will say, you are a child of the light. Come on in. But when you love yourself and the things of the world, he's not going to save you. You chose not to be saved. So how does he blind your eyes? Why did Jesus pray? He said, thank you for blinding the eyes and revealing it to those who would learn. Blind the eyes of the wise and the prudent. Why? How does he do this? I've had this said to me. People who were message believers. And I point out something to him. I said, you know, brother, I'm going to tell you this one, brother. He didn't believe in going to church. He didn't believe in the fivefold ministry. And I get a call. I said, what about here where Brother Bram said, go to church? Well, yeah, he had to say that. Because that was for the foolish virgins. But see, if you're spiritual, you know who he's talking to. You're either talking to the foolish virgins or you're talking to the bride. Wow. And he says, they're going to be wrong. They're going to believe them, and they're going to be wrong. Well, he has to blind their eyes by lying to them. God doesn't lie to you to blind your eyes. He tells the truth. The truth blinds their eyes. You don't go out and tell someone a lie just to get them to go to hell. You tell them the truth. Amazing. That's how so many people get away from following the message the way Brother Branham preached it. I've told you this before. I'm going to say it again. Talking to a brother, he said, I know Brother Branham said we need the fivefold ministry, and I believe that, but I don't believe we need to listen to him. He said, I can't explain that. You think? He said, I don't have to explain it. I just have to believe it. You can take anything you want and do that. Let me give one. Brother Brandt preached against women cutting their hair. And I believe that. But I don't believe it's important. I think they can cut their hair. Now, I can't explain that. I just have to believe it. Is that not any more ridiculous than what the other brother was saying? Now, I'm just playing. What I just said, I was making a sarcastic allegory, okay? Or whatever it was. You can't do that and explain away what you don't want to believe. You can't explain things away, brother. I mean, you can, but you're going to be walking in darkness. That's not, and then some people think God blinds their eyes by being so complicated. God is not complicated. God tried to get that across to us right before he preached the seals. He said, now I'm going to preach the seals. It's going to be the most amazing opening of the word, and it's going to be in simplicity. I reveal myself in simplicity, and I hide in simplicity. So don't go over the top of this. And that's why I look right here, and I see this little group of people, and I think the greatest thing on earth is happening. I almost can't already say it. The greatest thing on earth, part of it is happening right here, right now. This is greater than any election. Donald Trump thinks he got the next great big. It's going to be huge. Yeah, it ain't even close to this. It isn't. Because Jesus Christ himself is humbly revealing himself in his bride. In the most humble way that a message believer could get in here, sit down right beside the looking around and say, okay, nice church, enjoyed it. I'm going back to mine. We got a little bit more going on. Preacher's a little bit more anointed. We have a few more healings. Singing is a lot prettier, and we got more people, so there's more to do. Totally blind to the fact that he was sitting right beside Jesus Christ in flesh. He said, well, we do that in my church. I said, beside Jesus Christ in flesh in my church. All right, then. Not a problem. Where's your evidence? So ministers get up and they try to impress people by how deep they can get, how complicated they can get, how wise they can look. Now listen to what I'm going to tell you something. Really going to blow you away. Bet you never heard this before. Probably not. Let me tell you what. When God makes something simple, that blows me away. Oh my goodness. Listen to that. Let me just say this. When God really reveals something to you, it becomes simple. When you really see something, it becomes simple. And it's so simple, it's like, oh my goodness, that's as simple as 2 + 2 = 4. You don't have to grab this and that quote and this and all put it together and build this whole little thing. And pretty soon you have this whole mountain of quotes and scriptures and religion. You think, woo, ain't that beautiful? Looks like a mess. He breaks that down. He tears that all down and said, look, this is me. Simplicity. Can I give you a couple examples? I'm going to give you... Look how simple God does things. I went to Aldi to get groceries. And when you go to Aldi to use one of the carts, you had to put a quarter in the handle and it releases the cart to you, right? I got to Aldi and I realized I don't have a quarter. So I said just a short look, God, I need a quarter. You know, I don't know, you know, I could maybe have a box inside, but I don't want to carry everything in a box. And so I need a quarter. If you provide it, you know, appreciate it. It's just something real simple. We'll start walking in. And this lady comes up and she's dropped off her groceries. She's pushing her cart in to turn it back in. And she said, do you need a cart? I said, yes, ma'am, but I don't have a quarter. She said, don't worry about it. Here, you can have mine. Well, right away, I said, well, thank you, God. And you should have seen her. It just made her day. She had done something nice to somebody. And I watched, and she turned, and she smiled. Her face was beaming. And she walked across the parking lot. She was an older lady. And she was just beaming. I thought, wow, that just made her day because she had an opportunity to be nice to someone. And I didn't think about it too much right then. I thought, well, thank you, Lord. You know, went and did my shopping, came back out, taking my cart up. Someone else, you need a cart? I sure do. Here, keep the quarter. What was I going to do, keep that quarter? I got in my car, drove to somewhere else. I got out. I looked in my car, on my seat, and where I've been sitting on that seat was a quarter. And that's when I recognized, oh my goodness, that really was God doing something special. Because all he had to do when I stepped out of my car was turn around and look in there and see that quarter. I said, thank you, God, there's a quarter. But you know what he wanted to do? He wanted to bless that woman. He wanted to give her a blessing by having her do something for me. That is God in simplicity. You got to be kidding, Phil. A little old quarter. Yes, sir. Let me ask you something. If God is in it, how little is it? Is it any littler than God raising some from the dead? Is it any harder for God to raise some from the dead as to provide me a quarter? You realize how great God is, don't you? Do you know it's just as easy for God to give me a quarter as to create another planet out there and start spinning around? Oh, we got a new planet in the solar system. Where'd that come from? Oh, I was trying to create a quarter and I got a planet instead. God doesn't have difficulty. The only difficulty God has is getting us to believe Him. You say, that's awful sin. Let me give you another example. I was visiting another church. And after church, we were sitting down eating lunch. And this brother sat right beside me. And he just started going on about all these mighty, wonderful miracles God had done in his life. Literal miracles. He was not exaggerating. He wasn't blowing smoke. He was genuinely telling the truth. His pastor was sitting there listening. And he just went from one to another of these really amazing things God had done in his life. And I started getting the impression as I listened to that he was trying to show me how spiritual he was. Look what God has done for me. I must be really spiritual. God has done this for me. He's done this. And I am not belittling the miracles and what God did because they're amazing. Literally. But I was just guys kind of listening, and I was like, he's trying to impress. He got done. He turned to me. He said, all right, now you tell me what God's done for you. And right away I said, yep. We're going to bump chests over who's got the most greatest miracles in our life, right? And right away, my first impression was, I'm not going to do that. It's ridiculous. So I was going to give some answer. You know what, brother, I'm going to finish lunch. I don't know what I was going to say. I was just trying to think of how to tactfully ease out of that. And God just dropped a thought in my mind and said, say this. And something that happened a long time ago, it is so very small and insignificant. And so I said, well, one time God did this, and I told them a little story, and when I got done, he just looked at me like, oh. He was totally not impressed. He had won. His whole attitude was, really, is that the best you can come up with? And he didn't hardly speak to me the rest of the time. He was like, well, you're not very spiritual. Why am I wasting my time? That was his attitude. If that tiny, insignificant thing was God, how much less is that than the mighty things God did in his life? Was it God or not? It was God. Then it's God. What more do we want? Are we judging ourselves by how great the mighty miracles are? Isn't that how Jesus said people are going to be deceived by the mighty miracles that they do? Recognize God doing stuff in your life, brother, sister. Just the other day, I was at work. I had something I was struggling with in my mind, just trying to get over it, trying to get the right frame of mind. And a friend of mine, he just said something, and it just like, wow. And it was done. That friend, that coworker, he has no clue what he did. He has no clue that was God speaking through that man. He said, well, he's not even a believer. Have you never had other people speak to you? I've had him bring some nice rebukes. But that's good when God brings a rebuke for someone you can just consider it a sinner. As holy as I am and God speaks to a sinner? Whoa. Yes, sir. That'll bring you up short. And I look back at that and say, he just said a little sentence and it changed my whole perspective and that thing was gone. It wasn't bothering me anymore. That man, he doesn't know what he said. I pray one day he'll find out. See, I believe that's the kind of thing that people get eternal life for. They get rewarded. I don't know how that reward is going to come. But brother and sister, when people respect the Christ they see in you, they respect the Christ they see in you, and they might never have heard the name of William Branham, they might never have been in the message church, but they have more respect than 90% of those message believers. I believe those are where we're going to find some of those foolish virgins. That's just my opinion. You say, well, they're not virgins. Why not? Okay, well, you take that up with God. I'm going to ask for them, okay? Amen. Maybe that's my opinion, but I'm sticking with it until God changes my mind. My. The little things. The little things that God does in our life. He said, hey, remember when I took care of this? Remember you couldn't find something? I showed a word. Remember all these tiny little things in your life? That's God. He's trying to get you to say, will you accept me the way I am? Or do you have to have some great big something happen in church where a pillar of fire comes down and smacks you in the side of the head so you know it's God? This is how it's hidden, brother and sister, because we recognize these things and the world doesn't. It's too simple. God is constantly in our midst. All he wants us to do is open our eyes and recognize him. Recognize him. Oh, but we want something a little bit more oomph to it, Brother Phil. I just need to really know. Like that woman today, I trust you. I just really need to know. So I said, well, what is it then if you don't trust me? Boy, that tore her up too. Because she couldn't put a finger on it. I'm not trying to say things bad about it, but she couldn't. She was too tore up in her mind. She had too much fear or something. The problem sometimes is we are not willing to take the little tiny crumbs that God gives us. Remember that Syrophoenician woman? She came to Jesus. Son of David, have mercy on me. He ignored her and walked away. You know, like Brother Brandon said, when we get to Jesus, we said, okay, our problems are taken care of. Not necessarily. He walked away. He ignored her. You ever come to church and prayed up and just ready? I need something from you, God. And I got this problem going on and this is happening in my life and I'm tore up. I really need something. And you come to church, you listen there and nothing. Nothing. He ignored you. Boy, that's good for your pride. You get up and walk out and say, man, I must really have grieved God. That's just a waste of time. Or, boy, he doesn't love me, and maybe I've gone too far. And, you know, Satan just pounding. You just sinned too far. You sinned away your day of grace and all the stuff that he pounds in your head. Do you know what you did? You came back again. And that woman, she came back to Jesus and said, Lord, have mercy. Because, you know, the disciples said, send her away. Because she didn't just come up and say, son of David, have mercy on me. He walked away. She said, well, okay, then forget it. No, they said, that she's bothering us. Would you do something to get her away from her? She won't shut up. That's what God likes from his children. What is that? That's faith. I need something, God. Well, okay, walk away, and you just stay right on his heels. Hey, I'm sorry, I'm your child. You're responsible for me. I need this. This isn't a want, this is a need. You promised I could have it. Dad. He likes that. It shows that you actually believe. You don't get discouraged and say, well, I guess I'll sit here and starve to death. He didn't bring me any dinner. He likes it when you believe him. He tests you sometime. Sometime. All the time. What does it do? It strengthens our faith. It's like doing push-ups. You want to do push-ups? You want to get good at it? You know how you do it? You just start doing push-ups. And you know what you do tomorrow? Push-ups. And tomorrow, push-ups. And after a while, you're doing push-ups like Will. He's a machine. That's the way faith works, folks. You want to have faith? You just start exercising it. You start believing what God tells you. And tomorrow you believe again, and tomorrow the day after, and the day after. And after a while, you're walking around with these huge muscle, faith muscles, and you know what it does? It humbles you. You see someone walk around, I got faith to move the mountains. Well, you better watch out. That mountain's going to be falling on you one day. You've been crying for it. She came back and she worshiped him. He had ignored her. She worshiped. She said, Lord, help me. What a cry. Help me. And you know what he did? He said, get away from me, you dog. I'm not even sent to you. Boy, that would get me. Come up after service and, Brother Jerry, will you pray for me? I really don't have time right now, Brother Phil. Why don't you go pray yourself? Well, goodness sakes. What kind of pastor is that? He's never said that to you, has he? He might have asked, well, have you prayed about it? And then she said, yes. He said, I'm not sending to the dogs. She said, yeah, but the dogs eat the crumbs. Brother Branham said she was willing to just accept the crumbs. See, brother and sister, that's the attitude that we need to have. I'm willing to accept the crumb. If you have one little word for me tonight, if you have just one little encouragement for me, if it's just a song, if it's just something to encourage me, something that I can face tomorrow. And I see this brother getting blessed, and this brother getting blessed, and this brother, this sister getting healed, and this is finding deliverance, and I just have one little crumb. See, when you come with that attitude, you know what he's going to give you? He's going to give you a 7-course meal. That's what she got. It's just your attitude, folks. Attitudes. Attitudes are what blinds us. Because we look right at that light and the attitude is, I am not willing to accept that. I do not want it that way. I just don't want it. Isn't that what Cain said? God speaks the word. Man takes that, gets it all messed up. God interprets the word. Man refuses the interpretation and it blinds him. That's just the way it's always been. It's not appealing to human nature. We refuse to accept it as if God will change his mind. We live in our own reality. There's something I was reading recently. I really should print it off and bring it in so some of you can read it. It is so disgusting. They're talking about relative reality. You know, this thing where your perception is your reality. That's true. Whatever I perceive to be real is real to me, right? But there is a reality, something that's real. I could hold it. I could say, this is a wooden pulpit. And you could say, well, in my perception, that's a plastic pulpit. Well, your perception would be wrong. I could say, this is Christ in Brother Paul. And you could say, well, I don't see Christ. I think that's the bad spirit in Brother Paul. Well, your perception would be wrong. And our world is turning to this relative reality. Whatever you want to be real is real. We have people who think they are the opposite sex. I'm really a man, I'm really a woman in the wrong body. God made a mistake, put me in the wrong body. That's just the wrong spirit is what it is. You have that female spirit on you, or male spirit. We have people who think they're animals. I'm not making this up. They think they're ponies. They think they are dragons. They will do their tattooing and color themselves and paint themselves up to look like a dragon because they believe that they are a dragon. They believe they are a cat. They believe they are an alien. I am not making this stuff up. What is it? They have taken a spirit in them, and that spirit tells them that, and they believe it. Their reality is relative to what they want. And whatever you want, you can have it. This happened at I'm going to just say this very basic. If I might have some of the details wrong. This guy, he's like 5'6". He's standing there. He said, he's got all this classroom of students. He said, I want you to know. He said something like that. What would you say if I told you I'm really a woman? Yeah, we can go with that. You're really a woman. We believe that. What if I told you I was Asian? I think it said something like that. You know, Chinese woman. All right, if you believe you're a Chinese woman, we can go with you being a Chinese woman. What if I told you I was 7 years old? Well, if you believe you're 7 years old, you can be 7 years old. We'll believe it. Guy was like 5'6". He said, and I'm also 6'5". Oh, I don't know about that. They couldn't go with him being 6'5", but they could go with everything else. These are our smart, educated college kids. This is the reality that is happening in our world right now. Oh my goodness, folks, where are we at? And like Brother David said, this is happening in the message. What kind of Christian do you want to be? You can have it. Just believe it. Oh, the prophet didn't say it? Don't worry about that. Don't have to explain it. Just believe it. Could you explain how you, at a 35-year-old man, can claim to be a 6-year-old little girl? I just have to believe it. It's the same spirit that says, I know Brother Branham said we need the fivefold ministry, but I don't think I have to listen to it. I don't have to explain it. I just have to believe it. My. And brother and sister, if we can sit here and see this and recognize it and be above it and our eyes are open, we should be the happiest, most joyful, victorious people on earth. Why? Because we haven't been blinded by this world, by the spirits. Why? Because you are willing to accept the crumbs. You can recognize Christ in simplicity. And that very simple thing that you recognize is the thing that blinds everyone else's eyes. It's just too simple, Brother Phil. I remember, Brother Phil, when you came to Dixon, you were a mess. Yes, I was. There's no way you were ever going to be a preacher. No, there's not. Well, then why in the world, after all the mess you made of your life and the junk you've done and everything you've gone through, why in the world did you get up there and try to preach? Because God in simplicity decided that he wanted me to preach. Well, I just can't accept you preaching, Brother Phil. I know too much about you. Join the crowd. I know too much about myself too, but it isn't me speaking. Can we humble ourselves and just accept God's provided way? Yes, we can. And that's why we're here. Amen. Let's stand. Thank God. Praise the Lord. My, he's good to us. He's so good. Look around the world a little bit. Look at the politics. Look at the who are you going to vote? Oh, my goodness. Who are you going to vote for? Oh, my goodness. It's a clown against a lunatic. This is our world. This is our country. This is where we're going, brother. Says, let's get out of here. Oh, my goodness, let's get out of here. There is nothing. There's nothing left, folks. People have no sense of what's real at all. Nothing is good except God. And yet here we stand here in our right minds, and the world looks at us and thinks, you guys are whacked. They absolutely do. They think we're whacked because we're in our right minds. Let's keep them, all right? Amen. Lord Jesus, we're so grateful that you would come tonight and just encourage us, Father, to, again, showing us who we are so that we can have perfect faith to recognize that as your children, Lord, we can trust you. We can believe in you. You're going to take care of all our needs. And one day, one day we're going to take a rapture. And here we stand tonight in this most simplistic place, just a little group. The world will look at us and say, well, there's nothing there. There's nothing special there. Lord, you look at us and say, we're part of your bride. And what you're doing amongst us, Lord Jesus, is the greatest thing that's happening on earth. What you're doing among your bride around the world is the greatest thing that is happening on earth. And the world totally blinded. Thank you, Lord, for opening our eyes. Thank you for opening our ears. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for planting us beside a river of water, Lord, where our leaves never wither. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Bless us as we go from here. Keep us safe. Have to work tomorrow or whatever anybody is doing, Lord. Just be with us, Lord. Let us be a light. Let us walk in the light and be children of the light. And Father, bring us all back Sunday morning safely and ready to hear what you would have said. Bless your name, Lord. We ask this in your name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Let's sing that little chorus. Can't you see why I'm so happy as we go? We'll see you soon.